Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in New York. Today is Tuesday, May 24th, 2022. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 5, paragraph 5, in Bill's story. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Denise G., 12 traditions, Catherine N. The text will be read by Dana P. Page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only, will be read by Penny L.C., and our backup reader is Stephanie L. Our newcomer greeter is Noel E., and the announcements will be done by Eileen M. So let's see, the reference numbers from yesterday, Monday, May 23rd, 2022, the 10 a.m. Eastern meeting is 18,985. That's 18985. This morning, Tuesday, May 24th, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the reference number is 18,987, which is 18987. Excuse me. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. As OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Excuse me, I will now ask Denise G. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Diane, and everybody on the line. My name is Denise G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks, Denise. And now I'm going to ask Catherine N. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Catherine N. here from Richmond, Virginia. Thanks everyone for being here. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. In order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 5, paragraph 5. Shortly afterward, I came home drunk. So Dana P., take it away.
Thanks, Diane. Thank you for your service. I'm Dana P. here in California. Shortly afterward, I came home drunk. There had been no fight. Where had been my high resolve? I simply didn't know. It hadn't even come to mind. Someone had pushed a drink my way, and I had taken it. Was I crazy? I began to wonder, for such an appalling lack of perspective seemed mere being just that. Of course he did, right? And the chapter preceding, it's, you know, so amazing. Here it is, you know, one side of the coin and the other side of the coin. The paragraph before, I woke up. And that, you know, I had this high resolve, the sweet promises. And one of the most amazing and powerful things I know about this program is that we have no power over this compulsion. I have no power over this craving of the body and obsession of the mind. I'm powerless. And that's what's going on here with Bill. You know, he has no power. And there's the power that he's seeking is not available to him. And why? Because he's not working a program. He doesn't have a connection to a higher power, something greater than himself. And the other thing that's really, really striking me right now is that faith without works is dead. He's not doing the actions that he needs to do. He's not taking the actions that he needs to take. He has the want and the need, if you will. You know, he certainly wants to stop drinking, he seems to say in the paragraph before. And he has a reason to, you know, things are going pretty crummy in his life. He has a reason to, but he's not taking the action, and that's what's going on. So the, and as also I'd like to add that, this thought is completely unconscious. It's completely unconscious. And until we stop, we can't get connected to what's really going on. What's the underneath that's underneath that's underneath. And it's that restless, irritable discontent with Bill and the situation. And there's no fighting that. You know, for me, I call him Ed the Troll. And there's no fighting Ed the Troll if I don't have the power of God. So love to hear what other people have to say about this. And when I heard I was, you know, shortly afterward, seriously, like, of course, I just had to laugh because that's what Bill and Bob did with the second Bill when he told his story. They just laughed, you know, they grinned. And that's what I'm doing. I'm grinning because I know what's coming a few pages later. So I'm excited for Bill, you know, even though he's back in the drink. So pass with that. Thanks, Diane.
Oops, sorry about that. Couldn't unmute. Thank you so much for your service, Dana. Thank you for getting us started. Okay, so I'm going to start taking names of people who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you will give me your name and your state. Thank you. I'm
Brandy
ready to take
M.
names.
Wendy V.
Wait a minute. Randy M.
Eileen.
Randy M. Larry. And there was a Wendy, I think.
Yeah, Wendy V.
Thank you.
Eileen.
I didn't hear anybody there.
Eileen.
Eileen and somebody P.
Joanne. Joanne P. from Pennsylvania.
Jelly Ann.
Joanne.
Donna V.
Donna. And one more person?
Mary Beth.
All right. Couldn't get it. Somebody was in there after Sally Ann.
Sherry K.
Try it again.
Sherry K. D.
Carrie.
Sherry.
And another person. Sherry. And one other. Okay.
Kathleen O.
And Kathleen O. Thank you. We're going to stop right there.
Can you tell
okay.
me where we
so
are?
So I
now?
Have, I excuse, we're on page 5, paragraph 5, shortly afterward. I have Randy M., Larry, Wendy, Eileen M., I think it was Eileen M., Sally Ann, I think it was. You'll have to correct me when we get there. Donna, Sherry, KB, and Kathleen O. So, Randy M., star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. Can I be heard?
Yes. Thank you. Sorry for messing
up. Good morning.
Up your name.
Oh, that's all good. You aren't the first. this paragraph, you know, it's like we take that first, you know, bite for us or that first whatever, you know, without even a thought because we're powerless. And, you know, this has happened to me, you know, time and time again where, you know, I had the high resolve. I wanted to not eat, but, you know, I wasn't doing anything as far as working any sort of program to not eat. And so, you know, when something would be pushed my way, my mind will tell me that, you know, it's okay. It's, you know, or my mind will tell me nothing, right? Because I don't have the capacity because I'm powerless to think, you know, I don't think about what this, like what kind of hell this caused last time or those memories don't come to me. And so, you know, when Bill was pushed that drink and just took it, you know, that's no surprise to me because, you know, step 1 says that, you know, we have this allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And my mind is very different when it comes to food. You know, I know that food can kill me. But, you know, if I'm not working a spiritual program and I don't have God in control, then I will pick up. Like, it's not a matter of if, it's when I will. And, you know, a lot of times I'll do it not even thinking about it. And so for me, it just reinforces that, you know, I need to be working the steps and I I need to be, you know, of the service mind and have my, you know, God needs to be driving the bus here and not Brandy. Brandy needs to be out of the driver's seat because, you know, obviously when Bill was in the driver's seat, he just took it. And this is what we do. And it's crazy, but this is why we need the 12 steps. You know, for me anyways, I need the 12 steps in order to recover from this like seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And, you know, it's just a good reminder this morning that, you know, just to keep doing what I'm doing, wash, rinse, repeat over and over and over. You know, yesterday's prayers don't count for today. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Brandy. And now we have Larry. Can you give us your last initial, please, and your state?
Sure. Sure. My name is Larry G. And I'm from California. Thank you, reader, for kicking us off. And as Dan is reading, it occurred to me, Bill had nothing. He had nothing. He didn't even have the seed of the idea of playing his consciousness of one drunk talking to another. He wouldn't. He's got a long ways to go. He hasn't even met Dr. Silkworth. And I think of my own life as a person in recovery. I have the gift of all of these tools and resources. You know, Bill had nothing. He was, you know, just like every other sot like myself who at that time in millennials would never draw a sober breath and die as an alcoholic, addict, sex addict, whatever the addiction. But I found this 12-step program in 1981 when I was a goner. I was a goner, and I was about to lose everything in my life, and I was 12-step by an Al-Anon into Alcoholics Anonymous. And then today, a couple of years ago, I was 12-stepped into A Vision for You, the last house in the block. If I don't make it here, I will not make it anywhere else. You know, what I have here is so valuable. It is so fragile that and there's times I skate at the edge of the ice, man. I skate at the edge of the ice. I get as close as I can to the edge of the ice. And, you know, and I haven't fallen in, right? I keep coming back. I don't think that I'm any different from anybody else in this call. I'm not perfect, but I tell you what, I've got a lot of willingness. But I have something. I have this program. I have the tools. I have the book. I have sponsor. I am a sponsor. I give service. I have all these resources to help me recover, provided I surrender. And today I surrender. Today I woke up and I surrender one more time. It is a beautiful day here in Sacramento. I worked out. I got out of bed with joy. I did my two-way prayer, came home, kissed my wife, take her things out the car. I'm on this phone. I mean, what a way to start the day. Compared to 2 years ago where I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to live. And I knew that by 7, 8 o'clock, I would be in the food one more time. All the frothy emotional appeal the night before, gone, powerless. Anyway, I'm so grateful to be here, and I pass.
Thank you, Larry. Next, we have Wendy.
Good morning, everyone. It's Wendy from California. So reading this statement, where it's been my high resolve, is like the absolute worst and best information I've ever heard. Because when I relate to this, and I relate my experience on a day-to-day basis, year after year, where had been my high resolve? My mind is the mind that I use to make every decision, and that's the same mind that takes me back to the bar over and over and over again. And I trust this mind that keeps taking me back over and over and over again. And I was only given one mind by God, and this mind does not work in this area. And it, to me, it's like, it's baffling. I told somebody, I made an amends recently, and I was told, what, did you join a cult? Why are you hanging out with those people? You just don't eat. Because to somebody else, where is your high resolve? Just make a decision not to eat and don't do it. Don't overeat. Why can't you do that? If you don't have my mind and you don't know Bill's story and you can't relate to this book, then absolutely I look crazy. Like, I absolutely am. My mind will always take me back over and over and over. And without, the good news is, the only good news about that is, I'm not responsible. Once I realize that my mind's broken and I can't fix my mind, a broken mind can't fix a broken mind, and I don't have to depend on myself any longer. I don't have to depend on this broken mind that's going to keep taking me back to keep me away from the bar. I have to depend on God. I cannot do it. I cannot do it without God. I cannot depend on my own thinking to come up with a good choice, because my resolve will leave and I will go back to the bar. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Now we have Eileen M. I think it was Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And this reminds me of the sentence in the doctor's opinion where it says, we make many resolutions but never a decision. So I thought, well, what were my resolutions? And, you know, one of mine was, oh, well, tomorrow I'll just start over. You know, and then what would happen was tomorrow would arrive and I would forget about what I had said to myself the day before. And, you know, the thing with resolutions is they're not really followed by action. It's just me making a statement about, oh, I'd like to do this. It's actually, you know, the dictionary definition is it is a decision to do something, but if there's no action, you know, it doesn't, you know, no action is following, then it's really not a decision, you know. And then I think of a decision as, you know, having the courage and willingness to move forward in positive action. So if I start taking actions that are recommended in this book, you know, then I got better, you know, but it was only then that I could get better. And, you know, when I came into OA, it was like in the 80s, and I really thought that OA was about just following a food plan. And that, you know, being as thin as possible. I mean, that was what I thought it was all about. So then when I got to that state, you know, I reached this certain state, and I thought, well, what now? What do I do now? And so I'm just so grateful to be reminded about faith without works is dead, because it's not just a program of step 1, 2, and 3. You know, it's all the steps. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Eileen. Now we have Sally Ann, and I'm sorry I butchered up your name before. Is that right, Sally Ann? Is that the right name? Star 1 to unmute, please. Okay, we're going to skip her, and we're going to go over to Donna. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. I love the juxtaposition of these two paragraphs together. I woke up. This had to be stopped. I saw I could not take so much as one drink. I was through forever. So Bill had an idea, right, that he really, really, really had a problem and that he really, really, really needed to stop and that he really, really wanted to stop. He had this sense. He intuitively understood that if I take one drink, I am screwed. I have to stop forever. And there was a point in my eating career where even without the knowledge of OA and without the wisdom of the Big Book, I had an inkling that there was something I was doing that was setting me up for failure over and over and over again. And despite this big awareness, this big piece of knowledge, this intuitive thought that broke through, shortly afterward, I came home drunk, right? I mean, it's just one paragraph right after the other. And that's what my life was like, one paragraph after the other. I'm going to stop, I'm in the food. I'm going to stop, I'm in the food. Going to stop, I'm in the food. And it was demoralizing. It was awful. It was awful to live that way. And in this paragraph that we're reading today, there's also a warning for me here that fighting doesn't work. And fighting has been for so much of my life and so many areas of my life, just the way that I do things, right? I mean, I see something that I don't like. I see something I believe should be changed, and I begin fighting. I have staged coups in my life where I have tried to take down people of power in many different institutions, and fighting fails to work. This is a warning here. Before we get into the part where Bill does start to get the pieces of information that he needs to recover himself and to carry that message to others, as so many previously people have shared so well, there is a warning. Fighting fails to work. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Now we have Sherry KB.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Diane, and Team Tuesday and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. You know, this paragraph, just, and it's short, and it just is chock full. It describes me to a T in my life and my recovery this journey that I've been on. And it's interesting because it starts with the word shortly. And, you know, in the previous paragraph, it says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be okay. I mean business, and I mean it. I'm going to do this. Right afterward, right within a second, I'm back in the food again. You know, what's that about? Because I have this appalling lack of perspective that, you know, in my life, I was raised to believe that I could do anything if I put my mind to it. And so I did the same thing with this disease. I was up against me, it's all throughout here, I simply didn't know. I hadn't come to, it hadn't even come to mind. I had taken it. I was crazy. No wonder I have such appalling lack of perspective, because in other parts of my life, I can do stuff. I really can. But when it comes to this disease, it's insane for me to think that I can overcome this disease by myself, thinking that I have high resolve, that anytime I want to put down my alcoholic foods all by myself, I can do this. It's crazy thinking when I look at what I've been through in my life with this disease. Every single time the disease went out, until I surrendered, until I gave my will to my higher power, my high resolve was out the window. I had no high resolve. I did have appalling lack of perspective, and I still can at times, unless I'm in the work, unless I'm paying attention to this disease that I have that tells me it's going to be different this time, because it's not. It's never going to be different. It's always going to be the same for me. And without my higher power, without the steps, I will have an appalling lack of perspective. I will have no high resolve. I will, you know, the allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, the only way that it can get healed is through a higher power, through me putting down the alcoholic foods, and by me turning to a higher power, leaning on that higher power, working the steps, living in the steps, helping other people. And, you know, that's a lot of work, but how much time did I spend in the disease? And without my higher power, I can't do this thing. And when I think of the word high resolve, it's like I'm trying to solve it. I'm trying to solve it by myself. I can't do this. It's a spiritual malady. I can't do it without my higher power. I can't do it without the steps. I've tried. Believe you me, I've tried. Please call me. I'll tell you all the things I've tried to do. And it's insane. And without my higher power, I'm nothing, really. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Kathleen O.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Okay, so Bill is just real. He just stated he realized he couldn't take so much as one drink, and he's done forever. And then shortly afterward, I came home drunk. Where had been my high resolve? And, you know, this was my story over and over and over and over again. It brought me shame, guilt, despair. Why couldn't I keep the dang food down? And this program is about a miracle. You know, we come to believe that God will restore us to sanity. And this book tells us how to do this. You know, what Bill's doing and what I did for so many years was just total crazy thinking. You know, I think of it now as, you know, most of us have cell phones. If we don't, they run out of juice. And if we don't plug them in, they don't power up. And, you know, if I see on my gas tank a warning, you know, the light comes on, you have very little gas left. Well, it's crazy thinking to think, oh, it's okay, my car will keep running. And that's the same crazy thinking I had around food. So now I kind of look at the same kind of analogy. You know, it's like when I was getting abstinent and the food was not neutral and I was new in my abstinence, I looked at it that way. It's like, okay, I'm having this food thought. I see this piece, someone's put a piece of cake in front of me or whatever dessert in front of me. I immediately, rather than not think about it, I've got to pause and I will literally go plug into power. That's what I used to do. I would just move away, take a few minutes and plug into my power. It's like, I have to remember if I don't do it, I'm going to be taking that bite. So, and then, you know, the miracle is, it is a miracle because we get through these steps, we get neutrality around food, and we just keep working this, we keep helping others, and we get some peace and happiness, and it's really a miracle. So, and it's a gift, you know, you get your abstinence, it's a gift, don't give it away. And I pass, thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. And Sally Ann, are you online? You want to share? Okay, excuse me. All right, I'm ready to take new names, please. And remember, if you've shared in the past 3 days, please don't give your name again. Let's give somebody else a turn.
Stephen G., Toronto, Canada.
Joanne, Gordon, or Jordan, rather. Hold on.
Christy O.
Okay, Christy, that's it. And I think I skipped somebody. So if you put your name in there and I didn't get you, I got Stephen, Joanne, Jordan, Virginia, and Christy. I think there was one more person.
Deb E.
Lisa Ann from Wisconsin.
Deb. All right, Lisa, I don't know if we're going to have time for Lisa and Deb, but we're going to give it a go. So, Stephen G., you're up. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, Toronto, Canada. Thanks to everybody for the great shares today. When I read this, I see a person who still thinks that he's normal. And so he's using tools that normal people use to try to control his behavior. And of course, this is what I do. What he doesn't realize yet is that he's mentally ill. And so he asks himself, was I crazy? Of course, the answer is yes, but he doesn't know that yet. He refers to an appalling lack of perspective. Again, same thing. He doesn't realize he's been mentally ill. So that's exactly what I did, both before I was in the fellowship and, of course, even when I was in the fellowship, when I really wasn't accessing the solution, entire abstinence, plus the spiritual experiences, the results of working these steps. And so Bill is going through the process of understanding that he's got a problem that's permanent and it's progressive, but he doesn't understand what it is until Abby Thatcher comes to him and explains it, until Dr. Silkworth explains it to him, and that's what I needed. And then I had to continually go through this process where I tried to use my willpower until I realized it was to no avail and that I had a life-threatening illness and I was going to die from it. And when I realized that, then I was willing to work the solution. Entire abstinence, plus a spiritual experience as the result of working these steps, and to continue to do that for the rest of my life, because if I don't, I go right back into this way of thinking that Bill is trying to use here. And that's, of course, would be would be deadly for me, and it wouldn't last very long. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now we have Joanne, please. Star one to unmute, Joanne.
Hi, this is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania, a compulsive overeater trying to recover. Oh my goodness, this paragraph is me. This was me when I came into the program. I really did think I was crazy. I used to tell my doctors that I needed a psychiatrist, that I couldn't. I knew what to do. I had a lot of high resolve my whole life, up and down like a yo-yo with my weight. And then it got progressively worse. I couldn't control myself. And I thought, what is wrong with me? You know, it was appalling lack of perspective. I couldn't even do what I knew that I had to do. So by the grace of God, I found this program, and I am so thankful to be here and to be working the steps again after relapsing in March. So, every day. When I read that doctor's opinion, I knew, oh my God, this is me. I have an obsession of the mind and an allergy of the food, and I have to do this, man, or I'm going to die. So I'm so thankful to be here, so grateful for all of you, for all of your shares, for this vision meeting, and for my sponsors who, and their service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. Next, we have Jordan. Your last initial, please, and your state.
It's Jordan now in Colorado. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's all good. My name's Jordan now. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, and I'm grateful to be absent and on a meeting this morning. A meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. I love Bill. I'm one of those compulsive overeaters. I carried a lot of extra weight on me from a very young age, and so this disease really took a toll on my life overall. The extra weight that I carried made decisions for me, and decided the course of my life, and really took a toll on my self-esteem, my emotional security, like stuff that I'm now in recovery trying to heal, you know. So in 2015, when I got entirely abstinent for the first time, and I was saying, like, I'm through with sugar forever, like, I meant it, man. I had lost 80 pounds. I felt like $1 million. Like, I had figured it out, man. I was free from all that extra weight. I was starting a new job. I had a new boyfriend. I was going hiking and skiing and doing all this stuff again. Like, I was on top of the world. And I meant it. I was through with sugar forever until someone pushed a drink my way or a dessert my way, you know? So I get this. Like, I get this complete baffled. I had, like, where was the fight? I was through forever. Where was the fight? How did I just give that up? There was no high resolve. It was like, it was gone. It had been so high, and then all of a sudden it was just gone. And I had no explanation. so I get that. Was I crazy? I completely and totally get that. And the other thing that I want to say just real quickly to wrap up is that it's not that I have high resolve today. That's not what this is. I've been given a way of life where I don't find it necessary to compulsively overeat. I don't need high resolve. been given a way of life with two higher powers, both this fellowship and the God of my understanding, that protects me from that, that provides the protection I need in order to not compulsively overeat today and still live my life. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I have.
Thanks, Jordan. Virginia, you're next. Star one to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Virginia T. I live in Georgia, and I am gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. I'm just so grateful for all of you who make this meeting possible and for the service that you give. It has certainly changed my life. I just got back from a two-week trip to Italy, and it was, you know, it was a challenge to not have my normal routines and to have to order food that was, sometimes I got some things that were a real surprise because I didn't quite understand what was on the Italian menu. But I knew that to avoid that whole section that said dolce, which was sweet. And, you know, they conveniently put the trays of sweets kind of in a separate section of the menu, and they don't tend to put sugar in everything like sometimes we do here in the States. And I actually came back and got on the scale, and I had lost 1.5 pounds during my 2 weeks there. Of course, that was due to a whole lot of walking. But, you know, it just feels so good to face something like that and to come back with no regrets. I wasn't able to tune into meetings, but I could connect by text, and I could also, I downloaded some Sunday Special Edition podcasts to listen to while I was away. And I just am so grateful that I was able to maintain my abstinence and that I am, I'm feeling so grateful and free to be back and to be back into my routines now. So thank you all, and I'm just so glad that this works and that I can take it on the road. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Virginia. Now we have Chrissy, and we need the last, your initial and your state, please, Chrissy. Star one to unmute.
Hello, this is Chrissy O. I am in the of Indiana and Florida. I switch off. Boy, this these paragraphs got my attention with the whole idea of a resolve. And recently I kind of studied these two words, resolve versus decision. And a resolve is usually about me solving my problem, not me looking outside of myself for a solution, but me solving it. I've got this down pat. I just won't do this. You know, it's also usually what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to pick up the bite. And I'm depending on my puny amount of power when I'm making resolves. But when I make a decision, it's a decision to what I'm going to do. What action am I going to take? You know, I think of the decision that I made to go to any length to stay abstinent, to stay recovered, to stay connected to God. And I think of, you know, and my powerlessness. How can I solve anything with I'm powerless over this illness? It's if I have like 1% power, it has like 10 times more at least. So I have to figure out a way to get over that and into God's gazillion amount of power. And when I pray, it's like I'm catapulted right over the disease into God's loving arms. And I just love that vision. That's all I have to do is say, God, help me. And I'm in, you know, I made a decision to pray and I'm in his protection and his care because I don't have the power over this disease. It's whooped my butt over and over and over again. And with that, I will pass. And this is Chrissy O., Indiana and Florida. Thank you.
Thanks, Chrissy. Deb, we're up. And I don't think we're going to have time for you, Lisa. I apologize. But Deb, go ahead. Star one to unmute.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Deb, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel, and I'll try to speak as quickly as I can so maybe we can squeeze the next person in. I just wanted to share that the paragraph made me think of how I, like the different stages of awareness I went through in the beginning when I first started to become neutral towards the food, and how, like, at first I had a zero awareness of what was going on with the food. And when I came to my first meeting, I started to get information. I started to learn as, you know, the red big book was read at meetings. I started to understand. It took me a long time to understand the whole disease and allergy part, but I did understand that I had a problem, and I did understand that I was going to food for, like, everything. And slowly, it changed. It evolved from, having that awareness but not being able to stop it, then having the awareness and wanting to stop it, not knowing what to do, and then, you know, slowly starting to use the steps, work the steps, and use, you know, the tools and the people and the program to help me, and connecting to a higher power instead of just turning to the food. And it's been like that with my character defects too, you know, and I still run into sometimes it's procrastination is one of my character defects, and it's gotten so much better over the years, but it's still around. And, you know, sometimes how did I procrastinate again? You know, I still feel like I can relate to that feeling. It's not like controlling my life like the food was and when it was really bad. But it's humbling to read that today and have that thought, it's that stuff is still there. I just get a daily reprieve from it. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Deb. Okay, Lisa, we have 1 minute. If you want to take it, you're on.
Oh, I can do it. I can do it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Great. Everyone. Thank you, moderator. I just wanted to say that every time, you know, I hear that he's gonna have another relapse or another, he has a problem, I say, oh, poor Bill. And I know it's coming, but it just makes me feel sad for him because I understand. The only thing is, when I was in that space where he is, I never understood myself, and I just beat myself up for it. And so whenever I fell back into the food, I was like, oh, you are so lazy. You are inconsistent. I'm hearing all the negative words that I heard about myself. And today I don't have to talk to myself like that. I can have compassion for myself. And that's all I wanted to say. I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Lisa. Wow. Everybody was great today. Thank you so much for all of the shares. Let's see. So we'll now close the meeting with the reading. Oh God. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Penny LC please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Diane. Thank you for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.